You're listening to the Church on the Move Roswell podcast. We hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Thanks for listening. Let's check it out.
You know, I heard a story. There's a Native American guy. He works at the Bureau of Indian Affairs up in Washington, D.C., and he's walking with one of his friends in D.C., and if any of you have ever been to D.C., it's, man, right around that area, it's just hustle and bustle. There's tons of people, cars. I mean, there's so much noise on that street, and they're listening to all this noise. He's walking with his friend. He said, "Hey, man, did you hear that cricket?" He said, "Man, you can hear a cricket?" He said, "With all this noise, you can hear a cricket?" He said, "Yeah, well, there's a cricket right over here." And he walks over to some shrubbery. You know, they have green areas that are out front, some of the buildings and stuff. And he kind of splits some bush, the bush, and says, "See that cricket right there?" He goes, "Man, how did you hear that with all this noise?" He said, "My parents taught me to listen. And what is important to listen to and for. So I heard the cricket." He said, "Let me teach you a lesson about this." The guy said, "Go ahead and teach me." He takes all the change in his pocket and throw all these people walking everywhere not paying any attention. He throws that money down. People, their eyes go right to where that money. They know the sound of that money hitting the street. They stop for that. Because we are trained to listen for certain things. We are trained to listen and pay attention to certain things. I've talked to the church about the reticular activating system, which is a part of the brain and the frontal lobe that determines what is important to us and what is not important to us and what we pay attention to. Let me give you a couple examples. You buy a new car, or you get a new car. It could be a used car, but it's new to you. And all of a sudden, you notice how many other people are driving a car like you. And you thought there weren't any in town. You're looking to buy a house, and you see for sale signs everywhere. You put your house up on the market. You think it's the only one on the block. All of a sudden, you notice, oh my gosh, there's one there and one there. Because we learn what is important to us and what we pay attention to. And we also learn what is important to us and what we listen to. What we listen to. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says this: "Listen carefully, my dear child." This is Solomon writing to his children, but we know this is our Heavenly Father writing this word to us today. "Listen carefully, my dear child. Do everything that I teach you and pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit or your heart. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health." True life and radiant health into the very core of your being. To the very core. It will impart true life to every aspect of your life and health to your body. If you listen carefully to the words of God. Well, I was meditating on this scripture and I thought, okay, Lord, I always ask these questions. How do you do that? How do you get the word so deep inside of you that it penetrates your very core, that's who you are. Your core is who you are. That it's so deep in your heart, so deep in your spirit, so deep in you that it's core. It's like it is locked in to the core of your being that you know it so well. So I began to meditate on this, and as I was researching this, I found out that In Chinese writing, the characters they use for listening are really interesting. It's got several characters that you know how they write in those character-looking things? I'm so glad I wasn't born in China. I can't draw a good stick figure. My handwriting would be, it's barely legible in English. If I had to draw pictures, I'd be in trouble, man. They'd think I was illiterate. But the characters are really important. That one of the first characters in the symbols for listening is the ear. This is the characters they use for listening, is an ear. The second thing is a king, or it means dominant one. And it means that listening is the most important thing you can do. Here's another character they write in that. The mind, the character for mind. So listening is the most important thing you can do for your mind. The next character is your heart. For your mind and heart. Listening is the most dominant, most important thing. Even people who don't know the one true God, they know the one true God's principles. Because he says, I make my principles evident to everybody. Then they have a little character, a line, a horizontal line over the thing for heart, the symbol for heart, and it means one. It means that when you're really listening and you make that the ear in listening, the most dominant part of your life, it impacts your mind and your heart. And the one you're listening to, you become one with. Why? Because you understand what they're saying. You're connected to what they're saying. You agree to what they're saying. So it's really important that we ask ourselves in this busy world we live in, we ask ourselves some really important questions like, are we so preoccupied with our inner thoughts and expectations that we aren't hearing what God has to say? We need to ask ourselves, what are we listening to? And not just what, but who are we listening to? I mean, really listening. Not hearing, but listening. And I'm gonna explain the difference between listening and hearing, what the Word of God means right here. I'm going to break it down for you. Listen to this. 6 times in chapter 4 alone, and 3 times in this chapter, Solomon talks about listening. He says it over and over and over and over all through the Proverbs. In the Bible, Jesus says, listen to what I'm about to say. I mean, it is a principle of God to teach people to listen more and talk less. It's a principle of God to teach his people, listen. Listen to what I have to say. It's really important. I remember sitting in an office with one of the pastors of the church, and he called me. He went down the hallway to call me and knocked on my office door and said, Pastor, can I talk to you for a second? Yeah. I said, yes. He said, man, I got a guy in here. I can't do anything with him, man. Will you come talk to him? And I said, sure. So I went in to talk to the guy, and I walk in, and the guy just starts talking immediately. Blah, 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 blah. And then starts preaching to Reuben and I. Blah, 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 blah. And I sat there for a second. I sat on the desk, and I'm listening to blah, 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 nonstop. He didn't give us a word, and I probably listened for 15, 20 minutes. Because I understand sometimes people just need to vent, so I thought, well, I'm just going to let him get it at him. Sometimes you just got to get it out. Well, no, it didn't stop. It just blah, 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 blah. It's like a machine gun. Finally, I said, time out. I said, time it. I said, how long have you guys been in this office, Pastor? And he said, man, I've been in here for about 45 minutes with him. I said, have you said a word? He said, no, he's been like this the whole time. We're talking. He's sitting right there. I said, so 45 minutes and then another 15, 20 minutes I'm in here. You're doing all the talking. I said, hey, listen, I don't have a counseling session scheduled with you today that you're counseling me. I didn't set up an appointment with you. I didn't. So I don't need you to preach at me, and I don't need you to tell me everything you know. I thought you scheduled an appointment to find out you got a problem. Is there not an issue here? And I wasn't trying to be arrogant about it. I didn't need it. When I need it, I go seek counsel. But I shut off this mouth and I turn on my ears when I need counsel from somebody. I start listening, not doing all the talking. If they ask me what the issue is, I'll explain it, and then I'll be like, your turn. My name's Jimmy. I'll take all you'll give me. Come on. Talk, tell me what I need to hear. But a lot of people just want to do all the talking. And finally I said, listen, you know, the pastor here and I don't have this issue that you're having, but we do have some solutions for that because we've gotten some victory in this area. We can help you, but I can't help you if we're going to sit here for hours and you're going to do all the talking. Listen, God can't help you if you're going to sit in front of God and do all the talking. He's God. Somewhere along the line, we got to do some listening. Man, guys, when I get in a room and I don't know any, I don't know what we're talking about, I'm not ashamed of any question. I'm not. I'll stop and say, time out. Hey, what's that word mean? I don't know the vocabulary. There's so many different dynamics. All of you that are in different professions know that when you entered that profession, you had to learn the whole vocabulary of that job. And every job has a different vocabulary. I don't care if it's coaching football. Some people don't know what a kickoff is, or this type of block, or this type of block, or this type of run, or this type of pattern. They don't know who X, Y, or Z is. They don't know. Listen. And so every job has its own vocabulary. And if you don't know the vocabulary, you don't know what anybody's talking about. And so God has his own vocabulary. He has his own words. It's called the Word of God. It's the Bible. And so, man, and when I'm in the presence of somebody who knows more than I do about that topic, I hope that I yield to them and let them do most of the talking to teach me what I need to know. Right? Because I'm not there. I'm not there not to learn. I'm there to learn. And so when we're in the presence of big G-O-D, maybe we need to just listen sometimes and just receive what big God, who knows the past, the present, and the future, and knows everything all at once, all the time, about everything in the whole universe. It would be great if we just went and said, God, here, I want to get this off my heart and talk to you about this. But now I want to get in your word, and I want to find out from you, what are you saying? How do I learn? How do I grow? How do you help me? Help me get past this situation. Help me get through this. Got one amen. And so, man, guys, we need to really listen. Solomon's not saying this over and over again for no reason. It's a constant reminder to us as people, because it's real easy to get talking instead of listening. It's real easy to get caught up in our inner dialogue. You know, all of us have a dialogue in our head, right? Some of you have a dialogue in your head. Good. I'm not crazy. There's voices in your head too. And so we have this inner dialogue that we have, and sometimes we get so caught up in it that we're not seeking the Word of God. We're not taking time to really get in this. And you know, guys, when I read the Word, I'm listening. Even though I'm the one reading it, I'm listening to what the Father has to say. And all of you do it too. Man, when you read the Word and you read a chapter or you read one verse and something in that verse just jumps at you, that's the Father talking. Through the Spirit of God, His Spirit that's inside of you. He's emphasizing something to you. And He emphasized these scriptures right here to me. You know, there's a marketing tool. This is really interesting. It's called the Rule of Seven. This is how advertisers and marketers, if anybody's in that business, you know the Rule of Seven. And this is the Rule of Seven. That until a prospect hears or sees an advertisement, hopefully both, hears and sees, here's some, that's why they do commercials, that's why they want to do stuff on the internet in every way. They want to talk to you, they want you to see it over, 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 and over again. And they know that they won't get anybody to act unless they've seen it at least seven times. That's why they'll run the same commercial for months, because they got to get you to hear it and see it at least seven times before you'll act on anything. That they understand how the brain works. And of course, God knows how the brain works. He made the brain. So that's why he, if you notice, there's a ton of repetition in Proverbs, all throughout the Bible. He's repeating things just in a different way. He's constantly repeating stuff. And Solomon in Proverbs, this is the wisdom of God right here. It's all the wisdom of God, but this is really poignantly wisdom. He's constantly repeating things. What not to do, what to do. He'll compare and then repeat a ton. And one of the major themes of the Bible is listen. Just the word, listen care. And I love it. The Passion says, listen carefully. Listen full of care. And I'm going to get to why that's so important. Repetition is not a trick. It's a necessary approach to engage the human mind. How do we all learn the ABCs? If I start singing the ABC song, how come we all know that? But there's some scriptures I could start reading. We might not know that. Teachers in elementary school, teachers at every level know you got to do repetition. It's got to be repeated, and that's what studying is. You study the same thing over and over and over and over till it gets down inside of you. And that's what he's talking about here. That's what he's saying. He's saying you need to hear it and hear it. That's why faith comes from hearing. That word hearing means hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. It's an echo. It's hearing all the way. It just keeps going. It doesn't stop. It's hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. That's where faith comes from. Hearing over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Because God knows how the human mind works. You know, when I practiced sports, we ran the same play 50 times, man. We practice it over and over and over and over and over and over, like over and over and over. And we're like, golly. But when you get in a game and you're under pressure and stress, you go back to what you know. They call it, you know what to do. You don't, the stress of it and the pressure of the moment, you know, doesn't supersede what you've been trained to do, what you did repetitively. Repetition is so important. It's a process of God. Oh, man. Our minds process a huge amount of information, but doesn't remember it all. Have you ever been in a situation? I know this, my family, my wife, people do this to me. They'll say, did you notice this? I'm like, notice what? That whole room was blue. I'm like, the whole room was blue? I didn't even notice. But they noticed. I said, no, what I noticed was this. And they go, what? That happened? Because each one of us are noticing and seeing and paying attention to what is important to us. So God's trying to convey that his word, listen to what he said. This is so good. Listen carefully, my dear child, to everything I teach you and pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep in your spirit and heart. Fill your thoughts with my word until they penetrate. That means repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat till it penetrates your heart and spirit. Then, as you unwrap my words, I love that. Unwrap, it's like a gift. It's like a present. He said, as you unwrap my words, they, the words of God, the wisdom of God, the word of God, will impart true life and radiant health to the very core of your being. Whoa. Man, we talk about, you know, living a true life and having really fulfilling the will of God for our life and knowing that's what we're doing and being full, you know, and knowing that when we leave this world, we've done all that God, you know, asked of us and we're pleasing to him and, you know, and that we've done all we could for other people, our family and our children and generations to come. And, you know, that's living a true life, man. And people are looking for it in all kinds of places, but it can only be found in studying and repeating the word of God till it digs deep inside you, till it becomes your core. It's who you are, not what you know. It's like that Chinese character, that horizontal line above the heart. You become one with the word. You become one with the word. I was talking to someone the other day, and I said, I was talking about repetition and just muscle memory. And there's muscle memory and there's mind memory. You know, how many of you have ever smelled something that smelled like something that you smelled when you were a child? Like a cupcake or something, and it's like it brought back, automatically it brings back a memory. It brings back, good or bad, it brings back a memory. It brings back a memory. Why? Because there's muscle memory. Your cells in your mind and your mind has memory. Your brain cells have memory in it. And man, what you put in those memory cells and in your brain, if you put it deep enough and you put it long enough, it will penetrate your very core. It will become who you are. And then when things take place and things happen, man, it'll just rise up in you. You'll just know how to do it. And I was telling this, talking about something like this the other day to somebody, but not this exact scripture topic. And I said, man, if I threw you a football right now, you'd just throw it. You'd throw it like you know how to throw a football. Or if I threw you a baseball, man, you'd know how to throw a baseball. It just, you just don't forget. You not throw one for 20 years and you still know how to do it. And that's how God wants to put the word inside of us. That it's so part of our core and so part of our muscle memory that, man, it lives inside of us. It imparts true life and radiant health to our bodies. Woo, man, I like that promise. Man, I was thinking about when I was a kid, you know, and even raising my kids. I don't know how many times my kids have said, Dad, I don't need a lecture. And I say, yes, you do. Because you have forgotten what I've said. There's some sayings in my head that I've repeated to my children. I don't know if this is good or bad, but it's probably bad because it was a football coach that wasn't a good guy. But he used to always say when he wanted us to hurry up, he'd say, Racky Tack, Huckle Buck, let's get moving. And I used to say that to my kids when I wanted them to get moving. I got that from a football coach because I heard it year after year after year after year. My mom used to sing to us in the morning, and I make fun sometimes, but my mom really had a decent voice. I didn't get my singing voice from her, that's for sure. But she would sing to us, wake up, you sleepyhead, wake up and get out of bed. I know that verse. Why? Because she did it over and over. My father, if you asked him too many questions, he'd look at you and go, you got a nose problem? He was like Clint Eastwood, man. He's like, you got a nose problem? Pinocchio? Otherwise, get your nose out of my business. He didn't say that part. You just knew what it meant. You got a nose problem? And that's when everybody in my house would go, no, sir. No nose problem here. I'm done with the questions. I don't even want to know what I was asking about. You know, and there's things you remember from movies. You know, when I hang around with a bunch of guys, you know, I don't know if you women have figured it out yet, but most of us still got a little 12-year-old boy inside of us. You know, that's why we memorize quotes from Nacho Libre and Dumb and Dumber and Elf. And we quote things from those movies all the time. And, you know, Forrest Gump, just goofy stuff that we memorize and quote. And we can, you know, and I was thinking about this, too, that I remember Clint Eastwood's favorite line, go ahead, make my day. You know, but listen, why do we know that? How can we remember that? Repetition. 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 Hearing it over and over and over. You remember things your parents have said. It's really crazy as a parent when some of the things your parents said to you that just you didn't really like at all come out of you. And you say it, and at the same time you're saying it, you're thinking, I don't even like that. I didn't like that when they said it to me. Why do I think my kids are going to like that? And I'm always grateful when my kids hit about 25 years old. One of my sons the other day sent me a text on my birthday, and he said something unbelievably kind to me. And he said, this is basically what he said, Dad, I get it. I understand now why all the lectures. I understand why you repeated yourself over and over and over again. And I did the same thing to my parents about 25. I told them, I came and apologized to them for not listening. And I said to them, I said, now I get it. Now I understand why you said things over and over and tried to teach me lessons that I needed to hang on to. Well, guys, we get that principle from our Father in heaven. Who's like, I want to teach you lessons. I want to teach you things that lead to true life. I want to teach you things that lead to radiant, not just health, but radiant health. I mean, he's talking about our whole being in our body, our minds, our spirits, our life around us, and our physical health. He said, my words are like this. If you'll listen carefully, if you'll listen so much that they penetrate the very core of your being. He goes on to say in this verse, he says this, so above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. It affects all that you are. He's saying, this principle I'm teaching you affects every part of your being, of your relationships, how you handle circumstances and situations. This is vital that we learn all this. Oh, man, when you find people that do not listen, the likelihood of them having any success in life, and success, I don't mean making a ton of money. I'm just talking about success in a relationship or any place else. If they're not listeners, if they don't listen when people tell them, hey, you got a problem here, man. Every time someone tries to talk to you or correct you, you just get defensive, and they don't listen. They never listen. And they just keep always deflecting and defending, and they never listen to what people are like. Hold on a second. I'm telling you, your possibility of having successful relationships, having any success in life at all, is extremely limited. And I know that because I know what God's word says. We have to become great listeners. I love this quote. Giving someone your attention is one thing. Giving someone your retention is another. Let me say that again. This is a great quote. Giving someone your attention is one thing. Giving someone your retention is another thing. And that's what God's talking about this in the verse. That's why he said the word. I told you to remember the word carefully. The difference between attention and retention is how much you sincerely care about the thing and the person that is speaking to you. All of us have probably said, hey man, that person said that. I need to remember that. I need to remember that. I got to remember that. If I forget everything else today, I got to remember to do that, to perform that, to change that. I've got to remember. That's listen carefully. That's the difference between retention and attention. A lot of times we listen attentively, but we don't listen to retain it, and that it to get it deep in our core. And the difference between attention and retention, the gap between that is caring about what you're hearing. Caring is what's the difference between attention and retention. That's why God talks about this penetrating your core, your heart. You gotta listen. It's like the Chinese characters. You gotta make listening the king, the dominant thing of your ears to listen. And you gotta let it penetrate your mind all the way down in your heart till you become one with that word. But the only reason that you remember some things and not others, it's because I've been saying it the whole time. I don't know if you've caught it, but it's about what you care about. When you care about something, you retain it. When you don't care about something, you might have heard it, you might have paid attention to it, but you didn't retain it because you don't care about it enough to retain it. And can I tell you, about 95, 96% of the stuff we watch, listen to, is not worth retaining. There's a ton of it not worth retaining, but there's a lot that is worth retaining. When my wife corrects something in my behavior, you can ask her. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you straight up, honestly. I listen very carefully. And I purpose from the moment she speaks it to me, because I care about her. I love her. I'm going to retain that information, and I'm not going to keep repeating that behavior because I care and love her. But see, there's one I care for and love more than my wife, and that's my Heavenly Father. And so I ask you today, man, do you care enough? He said, listen carefully. Listen full of care. When you care, this process just starts to take place. You start renewing your mind, and then it gets so much in your mind that you start retaining the word and retain it, and it just starts to get into your very heart, the core of who you are. Wow. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Man, wow, that always challenges me. I'm like, because there's a lot of nonsense that just comes out of our mouth. God wants his word to come out of us and through us. Man, there's too many people that need help. We need help. There's people in our families that need help. They need to be healed. They need to be delivered. They need something from us. Guys, it's really important. Man, every time I lose a battle, man, I go right back to my Father and I say, Father, what more can I do? What more can I do, Father? I love what Jesus says. He says, if you love me, otherwise, if you really care about me, you'll obey me. Well, how can you obey what he's saying if you've not listened to what he said? God says these two scriptures, these two commands sum up the entire Bible. Love the Lord your God with all, just all. So if you love him with all and you really listen and you really care about what God has to say, you listen to what he says and you obey it. You act on it because you care. And you remember what he says. Oh, retention and attention and retention, the difference is love. The difference is caring. People who make the same mistakes over and over and over again, they do it because they don't care. Can I say something? They haven't developed enough of a heart to really care to stop doing that. When they start caring, they start stopping. When they start caring, they start starting to do what's right. It all comes down to what you care about, what we care about, and what we love. Man, I've taught this whole message on we love God and people and nothing else. And if we would really start being motivated by that and saying, you know, God, I'm not just gonna pay attention. I'm gonna go to retention because I care about what you're saying. I wanna hear it. I wanna act on it. I've just got some quotes that I've been meditating on. I just want to read you. Wow. And I want to say something about listening. I know a lot of times this is to children, but everybody's God's child, no matter how old you are. But a lot of times we think young people don't listen. Oh my gosh. I don't pick on young people. I've counseled too many old people. I've counseled too many middle-aged people. Listen, there's whole generation. There's in every generation, there's a ton of people who don't listen. So it's not just the young. It's at every level and every generation. So many people pick on young people. Man, my goodness. I've counseled for too long. I've ministered too long not to realize that. And I'm 61, and sometimes I still have to kick myself and say, man, you should have listened. Amen? And so I don't want it to be just a young person's thing. I wrote this, open ears can lead to retaining God's word. To go from hearing what someone says to retaining what someone says requires sincere caring about who is saying it and what they are saying. What they are saying. Give someone your attention. Is one thing. Giving someone retention is a whole nother thing. It speaks of caring. When my wife or someone in my life, one of my kids, has to constantly remind me not to say something or do something that hurts them, and it's legit. It's not like, you know, today's touchy-feely world that everybody's hurt or, you know, we don't play that in the Smotherman household. That's not what we do. But if it's legitimate hurt, legitimate pain, I mean, gosh, if I keep doing it to them, after a while, you just think, man, do you care about me? So I wonder what God thinks when we keep hurting ourselves. And he's like, man, don't you care about what I say? Because I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to bless you. I'm trying to heal you. I'm trying to do something for you. Listen with care. If we do not care, our hearts will not be engaged. If we don't listen with care, then our hearts will not be engaged and we'll just blow it off. And there's some things, like I said, there's a lot of stuff we don't have to retain. You can write it down. You can, you know. But there's some things you need to retain. Here's one thing I want you to retain. Quit driving slow in the left lane. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Put your buggy up at the supermarket. I might have to just repeat that about 50 times tonight. If you don't, I'll put it up for you. A lot of other people do the same thing. When your heart is full of God's wisdom and His Word, it's beneficial for a lifetime. That's what He's saying. Success at any level comes when God's Word becomes a memory deeply embedded in us. You know, sometimes when we tell our kids something, I'll end with this. When we tell our children something over and over and over again, you know, and I said this before about being 25, but guys, have you, surely there's been some time in your life that someone tried to tell you over and over again, and you're like, that doesn't apply to me. Then you get in that situation. Let me tell you what life will do to you. Life will start producing experiences that you will experience that you'll need God's word for. Life will start producing situations that you will need God's word for. And you might not understand it at first. The disciples said repeatedly, "We don't get it." They would say things like, that's hard to hear. Like, they meant was, this is hard to understand. We don't get it. And God's like, you'll get it. And after his resurrection, it says, they, bing, 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 all that they were taught came back to them. Bing, 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 bing. Listen, you're meditating and you're sticking God's word deep inside of you. You might not need it right now. You might even understand the meaning of that scripture. But something happens, you're going, ding, 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 ding. I get that scripture now. I understand that scripture. Oh, here's what that's for. And that's what God will do. And that's why he's putting these words in us, wants to put the word in us. Listen carefully. Because you might not need it right now, but you're going to need it later. Loved it. One of my sons called me from boot camp and said, Dad, I got about a couple seconds on the phone. I just want to tell you thank you for raising me, yelling at me and being tough on me. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, because this is nothing. I said, well, praise God. You went to Smotherman boot camp. That's better than the U.S. Army boot camp. No, he was serious. He said, man, Dad, these guys are crying and complaining and getting their feelings hurt. And I'm like, bring it on, you know. Because I raised my sons to be men. I talked to them about being men. Raising my daughter to be a woman. Men of God and women of God. That's what I'm trying to, that's why I repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat these life lessons. Because someday they'll need them. That's why you try to teach your children to work hard. And they don't make any sense till they get a job. And they find out people who work hard get blessed and people who don't work hard get laid off. Not always the case, but that's a lot of times the case. But those lessons are needed. You know, the Bible says in John 14, 26, and it says that the Holy Spirit will remind us. So sometimes you read and you meditate and you retain a scripture. I mean, you get it deep and you know the scripture, but you learned it a long time ago. And you retained it in your heart, though. It's in there. And then you need it, and the Holy Spirit will go, hey, do you remember what God said here? Do you remember I said this? Do you remember I said I'm faithful? Do you remember I said I'll be with you in trouble? That I'll comfort your heart when you need my comfort? I'll dry your tears when you need. I'll mourn with you and I'll laugh with you. But I'll always be with you and never leave you or forsake you. You know, those things just start rising up when you need them. They start rising up. I just want to encourage you tonight. As we enter a time of prayer and fasting, we're going to feast first. It's Christmas, time to feast, right? And celebrate. After that, we're going to fast and pray. If you want to do that with us. But it's real important we get the word deep inside of us so that when we do fast and pray, we're praying out God's word over our circumstances, our situations, over our needs, over the things we want to see for other people. And I tell you, we live in a place where we need more Jesus, and people around us need more of Jesus coming out of us. I hope you guys all agree to that, because I know people who need more of Jesus, and they need more of Jesus coming out of me. I need more of Jesus coming out of you. We just need more Jesus. I love what John the Baptist said. I need to become less so he can become more. Love that. I pray that God, let Troy Smotherman become less so you can become more in my life. People need more of you, not more of me. They need more of you, less of me. Listen, every eye closed here and online, if you're listening. And hopefully, first of all, I hope everybody, that the Holy Spirit took what I said and ministered to your particular situation, your particular time and season of your life, whether it's a time of joy, time of mourning, whether it's a time of, just grinding it out or getting through or whatever it is, or a time that you're just walking in unbelievable blessings and joy. Whatever season, we're all in different seasons. I believe the Holy Spirit can speak something from his word and from me that means something to you, to each one of you. He's so incredible that he makes it individual right to us, speaks right to us. And I know he's been speaking to some of you. Can I say something, that every person is God's creation, but not every person is his child? He's God to all. He's God the creator to every human being. But he's not God the father to every human being. The difference between being God the creator of you and God the father of you, it comes down to your choice, not his. He chose to love us and send Jesus. Jesus chose love for us over being equal and being part of the Godhead. He chose to step down and humble himself and surrender to the Father as an example to us. And God expressed himself through Jesus Christ, the God-man. And he came and his holy blood was shed for our sinful blood. He paid a price for our sins. He was resurrected from the dead and he defeated sin and death, so we could save our lives from sin dominating us in this life, controlling us, dominating us, enslaving us in this life, so we can live a true life. We can live out the destiny in which he created us and saved us. And then he wanted to save us from the penalty of sin, which is eternal death, and give us eternal life. God chose to love us and chose to give and chose to lay down his life for us. And he put the ball in our court and said, now you choose. Do you choose God to surrender your life to him, or do you choose this world, that the little god of this world is Satan himself? He'll come in the form of a false religion or come in the form of nothing. He doesn't care what you believe, as long as you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. As long as you don't believe that. Because he knows that's the only way you can be saved. The only way you can make a real difference and live a true life in this life. He'll sell you anything else but that. But maybe tonight you heard the voice of the Father calling you. He wants to be your father. He wants to adopt you, but he won't force you. He'll let you choose. your choice, your decision. But I hope, and so many in this room hope, that you made the same choice we did, and that is, God, I surrender to your lordship in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to be adopted by you. I don't want you just to be God, the creator of me. I want you to be God, the father of me. I want to be your son, your daughter. I want to be freed from the slavery of sin that just controls me. The selfishness of it, the ugliness, the hollowness of it, the emptiness of it. The shallowness of it. I want to be free from the penalty of sin, eternal death. I want to go to heaven with you, and I want to live a true life here that has meaning and purpose. And if that's you, you're hearing that for the first time, you're really listening. And you want to pray with us to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and be freed and saved. Saved. That when you die, you go to heaven. Then let's pray right now. Or maybe you've heard and you've listened and you surrendered to Jesus, but you keep running away from him, and you've run away again. You just need to come back again. Come back. Come back. Just keep running back to him, not away from him. So whether it's your first time or your next time, I'm going to ask you to do two things. One, on the count of three, online, send us a message on that message board. I'm praying for the first time or the next time. Here in this room, raise your hand on the count of three and say, it's me. Be bold. Raise it up high and say, it's me. I'm going to get this right with God tonight. And then you can put it down. And then the second thing is we're just going to pray together. So here we go. On the count of three, raise your hand on the count of three. Send that message online. Here we go. One, two, three. Raise your hand up high and say, it's me. I'm going to get this right. Praise God. Thank you all. That's awesome. All over this room. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you. That's incredible. That's, you can put all those hands down. Thank you for your boldness. God will honor that. Let's pray now with all these online and all these here. Let's pray. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe that you really are God and God alone. I believe you love me. You love us. And you sent Jesus to die for our sins, my sins. Thank you for that. You raised him from the dead to raise me up so I can go to heaven when I die. And I can be free from sin's dominance in this life and live a true life with the time I have. I believe that. And because I do, I ask that you forgive me by the blood of Jesus for all my sins. And I say to you, Jesus, you surrendered your life for me, all of it. I surrender all of my life to you. You are the Lord Jesus Christ of my life. I receive the Holy Spirit, and I ask you now, teach me. Teach me how to live for you. Teach me how to live a true life. By your word and by your spirit. Till I see you in heaven, thank you for saving my life. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Come on. Thank you, guys. God bless you.
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to find out more about Church on the Move, like our service times, or how you can connect with us, you can visit cotmroswell.com.